Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The world needs tourism. The world needs people back traveling. But as we saw in March and April, that's going to be touch and go for some time.
9/11 was really bad, and we obviously worked our way through that and very, very well. But this is far worse.
One industry taking it on the chin during this pandemic is the travel industry. Normally, with the summer season comes family trips and vacations, and that means lots of flights. And if you aren't flying, you might be taking a cruise. Well, both the airline industry and the cruise liners are struggling. So where do they go from here? Can they rebound quickly? And have those industries been changed forever? Thank you so much for joining me on this edition of KRLD In Depth. I'm Austin York. United Airlines reported they're losing more than $100 million in sales a day. Fort Worth-based American Airlines extended its flight cuts into the peak summer season. American also said it would suspend more than 60% of its international flight capacity for the summer travel season. Meanwhile, Dallas-based Southwest Airlines reported its first quarterly operating loss since the depths of the Great Recession 11 years ago. The airline lost $77 million, but it was the carrier's first net loss since 2011. Revenue fell $915 million, or 18% from a year earlier. The man at the helm of Southwest is CEO Gary Kelly, who took time to talk to KRLD business analyst David Johnson about the effects the virus has had on the industry.
Well, the speed with which, our business changed was unlike anything we've ever seen except for 9/11. And, at the time I thought, 9/11 was really bad. And we obviously worked our way through that and very, very well, but this is far worse. So it's just hard for anyone to wrap their mind around things changing so swiftly. But the first signs of serious challenges that we saw were in the end of February, and that's when the bookings just stopped coming in. And we had, a fair amount of traffic in the first half of March, but it wasn't anywhere near what one would have expected. And, by the time you get to the 1st of April, planes are pretty empty. And as you said, the airlines aren't the only industries affected. It's so broad and so deep. It's a real doozy.
Well, it's so interrelated. You got to have confidence for leisure travel, I guess, but you've got to have business back operating to have any kind of business travel, and then they have to have some place to stay, so hotels have to open up, and leisure travelers have to have some place to go. It's got to happen. It seems like it has to happen sort of all at once.
It really does. Yeah, you have to have the country open back up, and you really said it well. If you're going to travel, especially if you're traveling for leisure purposes, you've got to have somewhere to go, and a restaurant to go to, or go to Disney World, or whatever it might be. And those things need to happen. And of course, for those things to happen, we need to get comfortable that the virus is under control through one or another means. And I think we're making progress there as a world. as a country, but it's just not quite where it needs to be yet. And, you know, in the meantime, in terms of the 9/11 playbook, you make sure you got plenty of cash, make sure that you cut the expenses to the absolute minimum, and take care of your people, and make sure that our people are taking good care of our customers. So it's real basic things. But, now it includes a lot of health care protocols, and I think I'm real proud of our people. I think they've responded heroically, and I think they've done a fantastic job. And this too shall pass. We've just got to obviously fight our way through this, and nobody knows how long that's going to take.
Well, cash really is king, and not all businesses have access to cash. Not all other airlines have access to cash. You had a fair amount of cash already on hand, and now you're out raising more.
We did, David. Sometimes you get lucky, and of course Southwest is more than just lucky, but we've always had a conservative financial philosophy, modest debt, sensible commitments, low overall operating costs, and we came into this year with record low debt to total capital, and thank goodness. So we have to begin the year over $10 billion of unencumbered aircraft. We had more cash on hand than we would typically carry by well over $1 billion. And in large part, that was because we had set aside the money for aircraft deliveries, and they were delayed, as you know, because of the Boeing MAX grounding. So all of that was, in hindsight, that was fortuitous for us. But it's not enough in this environment. Yeah, so we've raised a record amount of cash through the, from the beginning of the year through today, $6.8 billion. In a normal year, we would raise less than $1 billion. So it's just been a really active year for our Treasury Department. They've done a phenomenal job. And as you know, we're in the market today. We can't really talk about that, but we're trying to raise some more money today.
And you've got the payroll support program, which is, what, over $3 billion for you. And then you have the opportunity to borrow what I gather is a fairly low rate from the government if you need to, and you've got a while to decide about that.
Yeah, that's exactly right, David. And it's back to your cash is king comment. You know, your listeners are hearing a lot. Man, there's a lot of cash that we're talking about here. But in the money that's been raised so far, we got half of the payroll support program proceeds, which was about $1.6 billion. And we have $1.6 billion more to receive over the May, June, July time period. In addition to that, there's a deadline for this week for us to apply for the government loan program, which is a secured financing, 5 years. I think the interest rate is LIBOR plus 250, something like that. It just comes with a lot of additional restrictions. So we will apply for it. It's $2.8 billion. We don't have to draw that down. We'll have until September 30th to make that decision. But obviously, it's wonderful to have that option out there. It's more debt. We've got a record level now of debt on the balance sheet. But again, in this kind of a scenario, when very few people are flying, if we're going to keep the airline running and the lights on, we've just got to have cash to fight our way through this. Haven't furloughed anybody. Nobody's lost their job. Nobody has had a pay cut or a benefits cut, and that's important to us. But all that's predicated, obviously, on things getting back to something that's more normal. Otherwise, we're going to have to take drastic action.
Well, and that's the date that's really looming, isn't it? The end of the third quarter, because you've got to have published your schedule for the coming period. And everybody will know that, how many people it's going to require to fly that. And then I guess during the interim, you've talked to some of the unions about taking some voluntary pay cuts. So maybe everybody makes less money, but nobody gets furloughed. How's that going?
Well, that would be my approach to life, is that we're a family. This is a shared sacrifice. The whole country's going through a painful process here, but all that has to be negotiated with union reps, but your point is correct. We accepted the payroll support program under the CARES Act with a promise that we would have no involuntary furloughs through September the 30th. And, you know, that's a great value to us. So basically that money is a pass-through to keep our employees on the payroll, and it gives us time to regroup and formulate a plan. And it also gives us time to see if the traffic will come back. So our business is off 95%.
Gosh.
I mean, they're near empty airplanes. And we aren't, of course, you know, we had to get used to that reality back in March, but the April results thus far are exactly what we were expecting. And we're not expecting much better in May. But when, you know, the country starts opening up here during May and you get into June, July, and August, my hope is that we'll see some signs of life there in traffic, and that will inform what our plans will be for the fourth quarter. So the June-July time period is key, and we've got some decent bookings in place, and hopefully they won't cancel. You know, so
you all plan. Any good company has to plan ahead, and you all are certainly a good company. I know you've got to be modeling everything. I'm trying to see what the other side looks like. I mean, you have had to compete against other airlines and cars, and we used to joke that you competed against the couch. Maybe get people off the couch and fly that otherwise wouldn't have. And buses and trains. But now, are you going to have to compete against Zoom?
I don't think so. I think, in fact, you know, I joked earlier with our analyst call that I'm so sick of Zoom, I can't wait to get back and go see people in person, you know. But thank goodness, you know, we all need to be grateful for what we have. And if you think about all the technologies, this is a sidebar, but the technologies that are available to us, wow, the social distancing is a misnomer. It's really physical distancing, because socially you're able to stay well connected, and it is truly amazing. So I'm grateful for all that. We're having to plan for really worst case scenarios. Sort of extrapolate, you know, from where we are. I don't think we'll stay at the bottom like this, but. We've got to have a plan that we can execute if we have to significantly restructure the company. We've also got a sort of a, you know, so-called U-shaped economic recovery scenario, and we'll fly right through that if that's the case. If things start recovering by the end of this year or early next year, we'll have plenty of cash for that. But you know, in this kind of environment, you just don't know. My own belief that is strongly held is that we'll get back to normal at some point. You hear people say, oh, well, you know, things will never be the same. But, you know, the Spanish flu of 1918 was followed by the Roaring Twenties. And, you know, life will go on. So we'll get past this. It is simply a question of, how long is it going to take to defeat this virus?
Well,
that's the big question that nobody really knows.
We'll get past that. We talked earlier. You got through 9/11, but the legacy of 9/11 were a lot of changes. I mean, we got the TSA; they never went away, and they make me take off my shoes to this day, and I wonder what the legacy of this is going to be, and whether your model is going to have to change. Maybe go to assigned seats. What's an airport going to look like in the future?
Right. Well, you know, I'd debate that a bit. Yes, the world is different after 9/11, but you still have record numbers of people flying before this COVID-19 crisis. And yes, you have to mess with security, but for the most part, it's not that different. You still have seats on the airplane. You still buy tickets. You still get where you want to go. I think this too will pass. I don't think people will be wearing masks for the rest of their lives. I do think that this crisis will spawn a lot of innovation. We weren't very well prepared for a pandemic. I would hope we're much better prepared next time. And, you know, again, my belief is that we're going to get back to normal. And just like 9/11, this will be a distant memory at some point here. But we just got to get from here to there. Now, the advantage at Southwest Airlines is not only do we have a strong balance sheet and a lot of cash and access to more, is we have a low cost structure. And so to your point, if travel demand is different and it is lower and for a long time, it's the low-cost guys who are going to do well because everyone out there is going to be expecting a low fare. We don't have a large international presence, and I think those markets are going to be significantly impacted and for quite some time. So there's plenty of relative strengths that we have in the industry, and as you well know, we've been profitable for 47 consecutive years. No one else can say that. Never had bankruptcy, never had a furlough, never had a pay cut. So there's reasons behind that, and it is a great balance sheet, low cost, and of course we have, I think, the best people as well.
Fascinating. And just one last thing. You promise I'm not going to have to prick my finger or give blood for a test before getting on a plane to Austin?
You know, no, but I don't think you're going to have to do that.
Oh.
But it does beg the question of, you know, what do customers really want? And, you know, Governor Abbott is talking about opening up Texas on Friday. And it's just interesting seeing the polls. About what I was seeing on the news this morning is that 75% of people think it's too soon. So we'll need to do things that make our customers comfortable, that they're going to be safe. And a temperature check coming through the TSA checkpoint, I'd have no problem with that. That makes sense to me. The temperature checks, at least by everything I've read, are 50 to 60% effective in identifying, ill passengers. So that and disinfecting and cleaning, wearing mask, social distancing, all of those things, I think, are going to be important here for a while. And that's, I think, until we're all comfortable that the pandemic is behind us and things can get back to normal. I don't think that's this summer. But at some point, we'll conquer this and things will get back to normal and people can go about their lives.
Now, another industry taking it hard, obviously, the cruise liners. Because of the risk of infection, the CDC recommended in mid-March that travelers put off any planned cruises. That no-sail order has been extended until the U.S. Health and Human Service Secretary calls off the public health emergency. The cruise industry, which Cruise Lines International Association says was worth about $150 billion in 2018, is now assessing the damage. Now, Carnival Cruise Lines is already planning to set sail again, announcing it will resume service on its North American lines on August 1st. A total of 8 Carnival ships will operate from 3 U.S. cities, the company said, and one of those is in Galveston. Now, KRLD's Mitch Carr spoke to Casey Carr with Sharon Carr Travel about the move.
It's a good sign for us in the travel industry. I think they had suspended all their sailings through June 24th. So this announcement includes an extension of that canceling of most of their sailings actually through the end of July now, except for these few ports. I think it's Port Canaveral, it's Miami, and it's Galveston right here in our home state. So we're all in the travel industry really interested about how that's going to happen. We're all breathing a sigh of relief because finally somebody like Carnival is coming out with at least a plan. And I think, you know, for them to be able to pull it off, there's going to be a lot of caveats, a lot of contingencies that are going to have to fall into place. Well, there's lots of talk about different ways that they can handle it, keeping back some staterooms to hold empty so that people can space out a little bit more on the ship, so that everybody is in an ocean view or a balcony cabin. It's going to be all about cleanliness protocols. They're going to be doing health screenings at check-in, but it's going to be cleanliness. You're going to have to, there'll be disinfection stations around the ship, which there are now, but there'll be more, and that'll be even more enforced. I think we're likely to see the buffet go away or at least transform into where you're not touching any of the instruments. Someone serves you completely start to finish. We all thought that when this would open back up, it would probably start with some domestic parts that are a little more closer to home, that it's easy to drive to. You don't have to take flights to get to. So it's good to see this happen. But like I said, there's a lot of caveats that are going to have to come with it that are going to have to be fulfilled in order for it to go. The CDC has a no-sail order for all ships through almost the end of July. And Carnival has said that they will abide by anything that the CDC is doing. So if the CDC comes out and extends that no-sail order past August, then obviously Carnival is going to have to change the plans.
Anyone who's ever been on a cruise knows that there's always someone at the buffet with hand sanitizer and singing to you to make sure that you are cleaning up. But think about the ships with the casinos and the shows and the pool. I mean, how do they keep things clean?
Part of the way that we're going to get past that is to, in some ways, rip the Band-Aid off safely, mind you, but to kind of figure out how these things need to develop. Things, there's going to have to be some real world experience in it, and how to keep people separate, how to do all of this safely. You know, I don't know that anybody wants to be a guinea pig, and I don't think that the cruise lines are aiming to do that. But there will certainly be things that get adjusted over time to properly handle the whole cleanliness aspect while still allowing people to enjoy their vacation.
You and your family have been in the travel business for a long time. What's your basic message to anyone who's out there and thinks, man, I really want to get traveling again?
My message would be that you're feeling all the natural emotions I think you should feel. That we are the same, even as professionals in this industry. We are chopping at the bit, but we want to remain safe, and the safety of our guests is the most important thing to us. So we don't want to do anything rash. Nobody in this industry wants to do anything rash, least of all the cruise lines, where we would be putting anyone's safety in peril. But we are eager to get back to business. You know, the tourism is the engine that drives the world economy almost more than anything else. So the world needs tourism. The world needs people back traveling. But as we saw in March and April, that's going to be touch and go for some time. I think it'll be a scenario where we're going to be reopening in sort of smaller phases, and then every now and then they're going to have to pump the brakes and reassess and change the plans. But we're very hopeful. We're very excited. You know, people are still traveling, and people are still booking travel. We announced our 2021 safari the other day, and we got more than 100 replies overnight. So people are excited to travel. They're cautious, and that's the right attitude to have.
There's a lot at stake here for each of these industries as they struggle to gain their footing during this pandemic, of course. We here at KRLD will be following all the latest developments with COVID-19. And we will give you the information the moment we have it. You can listen to 1080 KRLD anytime you want on radio.com. Thank you for listening to the latest edition of KRLD In Depth. I'm Austin York.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.